Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Thursday edition here of IBD Live, where we help you make more money in the stock market. I am your host, Rachel, and joining us today is our regular Thursday crew. We've got Justin Nielsen, head of market research, Ed Carson, news editor at IBD, and Arne Gutierrez, market surge products coach. Good morning, everyone.
Morning,
Good
Rachel.
morning. And we've also got our friends, IBD friends, in the background helping us answer some questions today. So we'll get through as many of your questions as we can throughout the next 90 minutes. We can't get through all of them, although we wish we could. And also, you only see the answered questions, not the hundreds of unanswered questions that get submitted each day. We do our best to focus on the stocks and strategies that are most relevant to the current market. And also regarding the Q&A, IBD does not provide any individualized or personal investment advice, so we can't answer any question that reflects your personal situation, needs, or objectives. So please, when you're asking a question, don't give us any information about your personal situation or your portfolio holdings, and don't disclose what you own. IBD Live is for informational and educational purposes only, so please make sure you do your own research before making any trades, as we are not making trade recommendations. Also, I want to remind everyone we've got a great FAQ page at investors.com/IBDLiveFAQ with tons of great resources for you there, educational resources, links to explainer articles, and more. So check that out. All right. Well, with all of that said, let's get tickers from the team here. Starting with you, Arnie, what are you looking at this morning?
You're on mute.
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. Looking at Karman Holdings, KRMN. I'm looking at about, I'm looking at the weekly chart here. Nice cup being formed. It's looking solid. So I'm gonna be talking about that.
Great. There's a lot of defense names that look good, so we'll definitely get to that. Justin, what do you want to look at?
Let's take a look at aluminum. So we can take a look at AA, which popped yesterday, and of course, that does have a direct, there's a direct effect from Qatar and Bahrain being two large smelters, and what the Middle East conflict is going on, what that's doing. But we'll talk about how to handle those. And yes, Susan, I am in my new office. So yeah, thanks for noticing the reveal. The long wait for the remodel to be almost done is coming. So piece by piece.
It looks great. I like it better than the pink thing in the background.
Yes, and if my daughter ever comes back from Italy, maybe she'll have a room to come back to. So,
Always nice. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into the news before we take a look at those stocks in the market. So, Ed, if you want to kick us off, and I'll share my screen.
yeah, futures are not looking very good. They had improved a little bit overnight, but it's all related to oil and stuff. SPY is down 0.9. S oh yeah, I'm sorry. The Qs are down 0.9 as well. I guess it may be improving just a little bit there, but point. The Dow is down 1.1% DIA, and IWM is down 1.8%. So a pretty sharp drop on the small caps. And let's see here. We do have a rally attempt going on, but it's not looking particularly good today. 10-year Treasury yield, zero TNX, that was up a couple of basis points to 4.24. That's risen quite a bit. It's getting up toward the recent highs. So out there because of this. Crude oil, obviously USO, the big factor. That is up to, that was moving up to like 6% or so to $93 a barrel. Big swings around there. A lot of news going on. Last night, at least last night, New York time, Iraq said that two oil tankers were attacked in its territorial waters, and it spurred the nation's oil terminals to halt operations. Meanwhile, Oman, which is sort of like brackets the Strait of Hormuz on the western side, they actually for a while halted operations of the key export terminal that's actually southeast of the Strait of Hormuz. So you don't actually have to go there. This was one of the last terminals that ships could go and get oil and then take out, without having to worry about that strait. It was halted for several hours. It is back up, but that's a concern. Energy Secretary Chris Wright, who erroneously tweeted out that the Navy had escorted a tanker earlier this week, said today on CNBC, yeah, a U.S. Navy escort can't happen. yet, maybe by the end of the month. What I didn't know until yesterday is not only is the strait very narrow, but the actual channel where tankers can go is like 1 to 2 miles wide on either side, going either way. So it's very easy to mine that very, very narrow passage. It's not just 30, 40 miles across. Anyway, so that's been a real concern out there. Jobless claims, they were down a little bit, 213,000 versus 214,000. They were supposed to rise a little bit. Housing starts, they came in at better than expected, 1.487 million. That rising from the prior month, while permits, those actually fell and were weaker than expected at 1.376 million. The trade deficit, which still has big swings going on because of tariff things, it's hard to know what to make of it. It fell more than expected, though, 54.5 billion versus estimated 67.9. KLAC, chip equipment maker, announced a $7 billion buyback, and that's adding on to 3.944 billion that was on an old one. Raised its quarterly dividend by 21% to 230 a share. That's heading into Investor Day. I don't know if they made any comments about the business. I hadn't seen that. Dollar General, DG, solidly beat on EPS, beat on revenue, same store sales growth 4.3%, but it guided low on sales growth, maybe slightly low on EPS. That there was a lost work credit, so I'm not sure if that was factored in estimates, but obviously the stock is down a lot. Ollie's, OLLI, slightly missed, 17% revenue gain, guided low on EPS, maybe in line for sales. This is rising up, maybe just because it's been down so much. DKS, Dick's Sporting Goods, easily beat on EPS, beat on revenue 60%. Now that's because they bought was it Fisher Foot Locker or was it Finish Line, but they bought, so that's because of an acquisition. Guided low on EPS, up on sales, but stock is up nonetheless. GIII, G3 Apparel, big miss on EPS, missed on revenue, 8% decline. Guided up on Q1 sales, in line for the year, but guided low on EPS for the quarter and the year. Big drop there. NTSK, this is a recent cybersecurity IPO. Smaller than expected loss, 32% revenue beat. Guided fractionally higher on Q1 revenue and slightly higher on fiscal 2027 revenue. I don't know why it's down, but it's down a lot. So, if somebody else knows, that's great, but I do not know what it is. UiPath, ticker PATH, beat views, 13.5% gain. Guided up on Q1 and 2027 revenue. I don't know why this one is down either. Needham did upgrade the stock to a buy, talking about its annual recurring revenue and free cash flow as being pretty positive. FTK, this is in the oil space. Flotek missed badly on EPS. Beat views on revenue 33%. NOG, Northern Oil, launched a $200 million price offering. FEIM, can't remember this name of this firm, but Frequency Electronics, missed on EPS and revenue, not doing too much here. WLTH, this is a recent IPO fintech, wider than expected loss, 16% revenue gain beat. GFS, this is GlobalFoundries, sort of it's a US chip foundry, but not on the high end stuff. 20 million share offering from existing holders. It also announced a $300 million buyback. Futu, the Chinese online brokerage, slightly beat on EPS, 45% revenue gain, and beat on revenue as well. Li Auto just beat on EPS, missed on revenue, 35% drop, guided low on Q1 revenue. BKTI, I don't know if this meet or beat, but 20% revenue gain, guided up on EPS, maybe low on revenue. IBM said it has released the first architecture for quantum-centric that would combine quantum and classic computing, for what it's worth. A bunch of private equity to private credit things. So that's been a concern for the market as well, maybe one reason why the market's down. Morgan Stanley, MS, that's down. Limited redemptions on a private credit fund that it has after withdrawals surged. That's according to Reuters. Deutsche Bank, DB, said, well, we're not exposed to significant private credit directly, but it faces indirect risks through interconnected portfolios. That's always the risk, is that contagion effect. It's not just that direct thing going on. There's that. There's just a discussion that JP Morgan has reduced its exposure to a number of marking down some loans to a lot of the players. out there. Blue Owl Capital, this is one of the biggest problems in the private equity space. Owl told investors in a recent conference that its recent sale of $1.4 billion in loans didn't have any backstops or hidden incentives. I mean, they sold it basically at par, but that's according to Bloomberg. But they're saying that. But nonetheless, investment firm Glendon Capital, which says that private funds run by Blue Owl and several of its peers may have understated loss rates. Of course, maybe this company is shorting this. We don't know what Glendon Capital's incentives were. They might be trying to get these funds down. Carmen, talking about KRMN, CEO Tony Koblinski is going to retire. John Rambeau is going to assume the position. He had been president of a key unit at L3Harris Technologies. Palantir has some conference going on. I don't know all the things that are going on there, but they've announced various partnership with uranium play, LEU, Centrus Energy, with NVIDIA talking about some AI operating system, something with GE Aerospace. Palantir's rising, so I probably because of that news, because it's not like the market's really encouraging Palantir to rise. Uber, Nissan, and Wave, not Waymo, but Wave. They've done some kind of, they're going to collaborate on maybe deploy robotaxis, maybe start in Japan somewhere. MSI, Motorola Solutions, they've been doing reasonably well lately. I haven't looked, they're buying Exacom, some cloud native voice multimedia recording company. No terms given, but just wanted to mention that. Lucid LCID, they held some kind of investor day event. I don't know really what's happened. I think they may have talked about, hey, these are some future models we're going to come out with, but I don't really know anything that happened there. A bigger deal may be that Rivian today, I think at 9:30 Eastern, no, at 9:30 Pacific, they're going to finally unveil for realsies the R2, EV, that small SUV. Yesterday prices leaked, and it looks like that $45,000 model won't be coming out at least until late next year. That often happens with this stuff. Mercado Libre, Meli, JP Morgan cuts its rating to neutral from overweight. Just talking about margin pressure. Margin pressure has been a big problem. A lot of competition there. BABA, Morgan Stanley names it a top pick among the Chinese tech giants. I mean, how many are there to choose from? But says that the investment firm believes that a global AI winner. Ulta Beauty is out after the close. That's been doing well. We also have Adobe. It'll be just interesting to see about software makers. This company hasn't been doing well, but if we want to see that, we'll also get Rubrik, another software maker, cybersecurity firm, and another cybersecurity firm, SSentinel-1, which I think is used to be at least known as a cheap CrowdStrike, kind of thing. But I don't know if that's still valid. But so that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you so much. A lot going on. I'm going to give a quick overview of the market here. Yesterday we saw the major indexes close off highs. We saw the S&P 500 shrink early gains. We saw the Nasdaq shrink early gains, which was definitely a little disappointing. And now when we look at the Nasdaq, we are seeing it stuck, very squarely between its 50-day line, which has been sloping lower since mid-February, and its longer-term 200-day line, which is still sloping upward. To me, yesterday's action felt like, a confirmation of the impulse to stay in cash as opposed to, gaining more exposure. And as Ed mentioned earlier, Wednesday marked day three of a rally attempt. So today we could possibly see confirmation of a new uptrend, but with all of the volatility and swings, we might. We'll still most likely be in a very sideways pattern here. So it's tricky. It's still tricky. Justin, it's been a minute since you've been on Thursday, so it's good to have you back here. Tell me how you're making sense of this action.
Yeah, just kind of chilling.
Cool.
There really isn't much reason to get heavily invested here. Again, I like that we got that support at the 200-day moving average line on the Nasdaq, kind of right where you wanted it. But at the same time, we've done that a number of times over the past few months, and it just doesn't really go up that much, So, you start getting invested on the bounce, you get a little bit more heavier, and then as soon as you're fully invested, they pull the rug out from under you, and you're having another drawdown. So this time I'm just kind of sitting on my hands a little bit more. I have I still have my BTSG from way back, and that's really my only full position. Other than that, I have some probing positions, out, so just a little bit of exposure. So I've got a toehold in case we do, have a follow-through day and start rallying. But again, it's not anything I'm going to get majorly hurt with. So that's the way I'm handling things. And I think your assessment of the market was spot on, Rachel. That it's nice to see the tight action, but it's also, bumping its head up against the 21-day moving average line. That's kind of acting as resistance right now, and it's got a lot of hurdles it's got to do. It's got to get above that 21-day moving average line. It's got to get above that 50-day moving average line, and then it has to stay above there. That's been our problem, right? It gets above there for like a day or two, and then comes back down. I'm also going to note that while the NASDAQ composite, as you said, finished off its highs, but still with a small gain, 0.08. RSP was a little bit weaker, so you have the equal weighted. The position just looks a little bit different here, right? So this was getting resistance at its 50-day moving average line, came back a little bit, a little bit deeper on Tuesday, and a little bit more on Wednesday with a 0.33% loss. So it just the look is a little bit different. Rather than kind of holding tight to Monday's gains, this is kind of losing ground. So again, the Monday low is what we're looking at for the rally to remain intact, but I'm a little nervous that this is coming in, or even as of yesterday, it was coming into that Monday range a little bit more. If you kind of drew a 50% level, it was probably a little bit under that from Monday's range, but definitely further in there than the NASDAQ or S&P 500 that were holding tight to Monday's close.
So Justin, what's your exposure at roughly right now? Because IBD's recommended is between 20 and 40%. I'm definitely on the very, very low end. Where are you at right now?
I think I'm closer to 15, so maybe closer to 10 actually. So between 10 and 15.
Yeah. We had David Ryan on last Thursday in your absence, and he was also saying I think he said 10 or yeah, just very, very much supporting cash right now. Well, thank you for that. So Ed, it's a very tricky economic environment. We've seen obviously this upward spike the last few days in interest rates with serious bond selling, and then combined with oil prices rising, a lot of people are saying this could signal some kind of difficulty ahead. What are your thoughts on just where we're at today?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit like fasting, and in terms of with the what's going on with the oil, you fast for like several hours. It's not that big of a deal. You fast for a few days, and you're like, oh my goodness. That's what I think with the market is that we have. If it's very short term, it's okay. It's okay. I mean, like you're not gonna have that much of an economic impact, but it's more and more. It seems like if we it's you know the reserve release provides maybe a few more days, but we are getting these huge things going on with oil prices, with natural gas prices, especially outside the US, and then fertilizer, and all aluminum, and there's going to be shortages out there, especially outside the US. There's going to be real economic impact, chemicals, and there could be impact on Taiwan because they don't have enough helium. Or that they don't, Taiwan Semiconductor, they don't have enough helium, or they just don't have enough energy, because some of these places don't have that much, in terms of there's, we'll see. I don't want to, I if so, it's just we don't know. It could change overnight, very quickly, but it has to happen soon, or there's going to be more serious repercussions for the global economy. U.S. less so, but that'll over time. I mean, we'll get affected by that as well, and there'll be that demand for things. So yeah, just going back to the NASDAQ, you actually can't tell that there's an Iran war. It's just the same
Yeah.
chop. Now, maybe you can see it on RSP because it's been bigger, it's been weaker and all that, but NASDAQ, because but the NASDAQ and the S&P, It's just been the same chop, this kind of stuff this whole time. And you get a couple of days and then we go down. And a couple of days, and just what Justin was saying, you can't win off of that if you're an extremely nimble swing trader and you can, oh, I'll buy this, but then you've got to be ready to sell. You have just absolutely have to be ready to sell. That's not really my game.
Hey.
I just I it's just something, a situation where we like uptrends because you can hold them for several weeks, maybe even months. That's what we had last, say, certainly by late April to say October. That was a great time. I mean, sure, there was some ups and downs, but that's where you can make money. You can't make money off of 2 days up, 2 days down, especially if you buy on the second day up. I mean, you have to be, so it's, that's just not it. Just not great. If you have long-term winners, fine. Again, but I just think, yeah, we have to wait for things. It seems very unlikely that will turn around until oil prices get resolved. Not, oh, oil prices tumble to $80 today. Well, they could surge to 100 tomorrow again. I mean, we need to get some resolution. We need to get some sense that those that we have got this, that the shipping lanes are open again. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen right away, and I just have to wait for that to happen. I mean, you can ignore the news, okay? You can ignore everything I just said about the news. We'll have to wait for the market to look better. The shipping lane on the market is not open right now.
Yeah, and as you said, it was a great time to be in the market last year, April to about October. We had that great uptrend. We have been in sideways chop since October, November of last year. So it's been many months of this. We like to buy into strength. That's how we approach the market here. And so we need to wait. We need to wait for that to sort of happen before we can really see those gains happening again. Arnie, how are you feeling? What areas of the market are you looking at?
I'm controlling my FOMO right now, right? We're especially when we saw that nice little bounce off the 200 when looking at the NASDAQ. Just in general, risk management, position sizing, what we're talking about now, holding I'm holding higher cash levels. I did not like the action I saw the last 2 days, especially I got close to that 21 day, didn't want to go up. And I'm looking for little clues like that. And specifically, like I've been saying for the last, I don't know, last 2 months, we're living under the 50 day. That's bugging me, right? And we're stuck in between that. And again, protect your mental capital. This is the type of market that can actually have a can actually kill you on your confidence. You got to protect your confidence, your conviction. That's something I'm looking at as well, or practicing, right? If you do have to get in this market, stock selection, you're looking for stocks that are showing strong wealth strength, strong, and are set up nice and technical, but in the end, market direction, right? That's what we're going to be studying. We're going to be looking at as well. But all in all, it's my cash level. I'm probably 10% in the market. I have small pilot positions just to see if we do get that follow through day, that push up. But I'm just not liking what I'm seeing. This is the type of market that can really wear you out, and I just don't want to partake in it more and more as I start using it. Now, this is my short-term portfolio. My long-term portfolio is a different story. But all in all, just be careful out there. It's we last 3 days in the NASDAQ, we're up, and then finally this day we're fading and gap down, right? So it's definitely news driven. It's something that we all have to be careful with and understand. And in sharper markets like this, many investors we need to focus more on risk management. Keep your position sizes smaller. Cash is king, and go from there.
Very good. Arnie, since you are our resident market surge expert here, as you can see, I do not have 21-day line here on this chart, but I would love to
Yes, let's add
put
it.
that on there. Could you walk me do a little walkthrough on how
Absolutely.
to?
Let's go to that gear icon there.
Yeah.
Scroll down. And you see where it says moving averages? All right, let's give it the period. Let's change it to 21. Exponential type. And what color do you usually have? A green, right?
Green,
Or
yeah.
something like that, if I recall. Hit apply changes.
All right.
And then you have it there. And then if you we can darken it up as well, you can make it a little thicker. by right clicking on it. Let's just see
Okay.
how it looks. The edit settings. And then let's go a little, one more. Give it a little oomph. That's, I don't know about that one, but all right. There it is, huh?
Let's try. There you
Looks
go.
like Ed's purple crown. But yeah.
Right.
That'll work.
Very good. Thank you
All right.
so
You're
much.
welcome.
A little tutorial for you guys. All right, let's get into our stocks here. Justin, let's start off with, let's go to AA. I think, what really stands out to me on this one is the RS line on the weekly chart looks really strong, and we've got a really strong weekly bar here. But tell me about this one and why you wanted to talk about it.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, we had a nice prior uptrend, right? This is one that since October was actually trending very nicely. It was, sticking above its 21-day moving average line, and then it based. And how deep was that base, Rachel? It was fairly mild, right? 18% depth. A little whippy, and it did try and break out from that. Flat base entry. Well, not flat base. It was too deep for a flat base, but that consolidation entry. Tried to break out, came back in, but again, had only one day where it closed below the 50-day moving average line, and started coming right back. And now, yesterday you had a very strong move. Now you'd like to see some follow-up. You'd like to see it take out that, is it 66 or 68? My eyes are not that good. That 66.95 or okay. So yeah, you'd like to see it take out that 66.95 area. It's not doing it right now. But that's kind of what you'd like to see. Can it break above that resistance after having the small consolidation here? So that's what you're kind of waiting for. But you also have to put into context, the reason for the move, right? And that's one of the things that does make me a little nervous, because you could see news either really making this go much stronger, or if things get resolved, then maybe the price of aluminum comes down. Right now, again, Bahrain and Qatar are two big smelters, and so. With everything that's going on in the Middle East, there's going to be some supply constraints, and so that's affecting a lot of different areas, not just energy, but kind of there's a domino effect on other things, as well. That's like some people were asking what's going on with NTR. Well, urea is one of those byproducts of energy, and the Qatar and some of these other countries are big producers of that urea. It goes through the Strait of Hormuz, and you take out the urea supply, and that really affects your fertilizers, because that's a big ingredient in fertilizers. So there's a lot of these effects, and we're seeing that in some of the stocks. What's working does tend to have that those kind of effects. Now, not everything, that you would think. Like, for instance, I was kind of surprised that ITA, the defense, stocks, they had that initial pop, and then not looking so great now. So sometimes it's really hard to kind of figure out, what's going to work and what's not. There's so many different variables going into it. So instead of like trying to follow the news and every last wiggle that happens because of it, I usually start with the chart and say, okay, what's the chart doing? What's kind of the market consensus saying is going on right now? And I realize again that volatility can make a big change here, but starting with the chart really kind of helps me know where to look. If I'm gonna look at news, sometimes I start with the chart and say, oh, okay, this is telling me what news to kind of look at.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. You wouldn't necessarily be doing anything with this one here, given where the market is and given everything that's happening. You're just kind of watching it. Do I have that right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm doing with a lot of things. There's really not a reason for me to get involved, but as we always say, you want to stay engaged, right? Especially we're in a rally attempt. If we do get a follow-through day, I want to know what's holding up, and then This gives me a chance to also kind of figure out why, you know. So again, I start with a chart. These are the things that are holding up. If I can, you know, put a story to it, why is this doing well? Then if there is a follow-through day, then I can make my assessments. Okay, this is very war related. This is not as war related. There's other factors going on for this particular stock. So again, I don't have to start if there is a follow-through day and I feel like, oh, I want to do some buying, I don't have to scramble, you know, and do my research in 10 minutes. I've got a few days for that right now.
Very
Well,
good.
could I just
That's
make a point about a follow-through day? We could easily have a follow-through day. Now, probably not today, but we could easily
right.
have one tomorrow. But would that look any different? I mean, we could easily, because we've had a lot of big days. So at some point, we're randomly going to go up, say, 1.5% on the NASDAQ in the middle of a rally attempt. And so I just won't be the, below the 50-day line, and it won't really, to me, signify that we've broken that downtrend. You still have to recognize it. Sometimes follow-through days do not look promising, and they turn out great. But I would just say is that it's not like an all clear. Everybody rush into the deep end of the pool. You might want to keep your floaties on, for sure. In that situation, I'm not saying it again, because we could just easily, because it just to me it would just look like another day. I would
No,
like to see.
you're absolutely right. I agree with you.
I mean, obviously, if
And
we have a 3% day, that's different. Like a 4%
yeah.
day, and oil falls 40%, and Iran says that's okay. We love tankers coming through the strait. I mean, yeah. So there's something else, but yeah. Go ahead, Justin.
No, I absolutely agree with you. Like for instance, even let's say we kind of snap back today, you know, and or let's say we came in one more day and then had kind of a strong day. And so if we were like if we had come, you know, if you blast out with that support at the 200-day moving average line and then you come all the way back in, it's not going to feel very good that, oh, here's a follow-through day, but there hasn't been progress made. Usually what happens in that 4 days, at least between your low and your follow-through days, you've made some progress. So that's an element, but it's also like in our market school rules, the follow-through day counts as one, you know, one buy signal. So yes, you know, you increase exposure, but you don't go all in until you get more buy signals. What are those? Well, getting your low above the 21-day moving average line, getting your low above an uptrending 50-day moving average line, and then, of course, trending, you know, above the 21-day moving average line where that low can stay above there. So there's all these other things that kind of let you know, oh yes, you're crossing this hurdle, you're crossing this hurdle. You can get more in there. And then there's also the feedback you get from your individual stocks, right? If you're not making progress in the individual stocks that you initially choose, then that tells you something that you know it's not necessarily a time for you to get in deeper. So yeah, I we've had just in the last month here, you know, follow through days that didn't work. They absolutely don't all work. And so that's why, to your point, Ed, you don't want to plunge and say, oh, everything's fine now. We got this, you know, we got this follow through day because a lot of them don't work. You know, we do want to do something, but also recognizing that we still have to, as Arnie was really pounding the table on at the start, risk management is still very critical right now.
Right. So to sort of summarize, if we get a follow-through day, maybe we do a little bit of something, but we need those subsequent buy signals before we can really get in further. And that's, it's very clear there are levels above that we have to be clearing these moving averages, trending above them before we can really step into it. But doesn't mean that we step away from the market. We gotta keep staying engaged and, keeping these watch lists together. Ed, Justin just hinted at it, but I wanted to go over and take a look at a couple chemicals, chemical related names. A lot of people in the Q&A are, noting the big jump here in CF, NTR. Justin just brought up another one with a jump. Those to me look a little bit extended, but I think it was Dow that looked potentially a little bit more actionable, getting above maybe a high handle here. Any thoughts on these names? And then one more I wanted to point out that I looked at last night was SQM. which I don't know if this one is in a wildly different arena than the others, but it's not, on the chart, it's not doing the same thing.
A lithium play, so I don't think that's as exposed.
Lithium and fertilizer.
And fertilizer,
Yeah,
okay.
so
And I don't know where,
it's big on both, so.
and I don't know, there's potash, which is a different thing, but still fertilizer, it still benefits. I mean, fertilizer makers, it's what it comes to. Yeah, they are mostly expanded, maybe Dow less so, but I sort of feel like there were some opportunities to get this. It's 22% above its 50-day line, and you just don't know. Again, what if something happens? Something is going to happen at some point. Now, it could keep going, 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 and this could be a crisis for months. I don't know, but it could very easily, there could be some like, okay, this is all going to be resolved, and the supply shortages will go away at some, the people will price that in, and you could see this fall 15, 20%. So I'm just really nervous about getting into any of these names. If you bought got into them earlier, that's great. But I did wasn't, clever enough to be thinking about that. But yeah, it's not just that the fertilizer and the chemicals may be made sometimes in the Persian Gulf, but that natural gas is then used elsewhere to make those chemicals and other things. So fertilizer makers in the US that have access to cheap natural gas, they have a huge advantage over one, the supply isn't there around the world. And but if you're in Europe, if for some reason you are making chemicals or fertilizer in Europe using natural gas, so those natural gas prices, I don't know, they're up like 60%, 70%. I mean, that's an enormous cost. So it really helps the US-based chemical makers. I mean, that's just going to be a short-term boost. Now, will it last? I don't know. Yeah, really, this is definitely one of the places that's really working right now.
Right. So interesting to watch, but again, there's such a risk that comes with all of this. So maybe hold off until things feel a little bit safer.
Yeah. And then by that point, I don't know when it would be. This could be a just totally different picture. If things normalize, will these be, will they? I don't know if they'll be set. The setups may take a while again because there might be some sell-offs at that point.
All right, very good. Arnie, let's go over and take a look at Carmen, which is your pick today. Coming off down about 6%, but to me, this is forming, potentially a nice handle here. A buy point could be from a few days ago here. How do you interpret this chart?
Weekly
Man, I think
chart
you're on.
there. I'm liking that. It's had a nice little pullback there. It's a third stage base, 7 weeks, depth's 38%. I like that right side of the base being formed, but what I'm looking at is the volume as it picks up and it makes that right side of the base. It's above average on that weekly. You can see it down there off the that line there. Anything above that, for those of you new, is the 50-day average line. Okay, a couple of good things going on here as well. Karman is in a very, very strong industry group. Aerospace defense, top 20. It is currently, you can see that in the upper left-hand corner. It's currently ranked 14 out of 197. Okay, now the RS rating is at a 97 currently, and you can see that there. And the three-month RS rating, which I look at as well, is at a 96, which you'll find on the left-hand side in the data box as well. And then right below that, you get the up down volume ratios out at 1.13. Anything above a one is fantastic. More up days and down days within the last 50 trading days on above average volume. So all in all, I'm looking at the technicals. I like how that RS rating is starting to look. It's making its move up. It's not at a high at a high yet, but I would love to see this the RS line break out, go into highs before the chart breaks out. That's always a very bullish indicator. Strong price action just reconfirms everything. But look, it had one, two, three bars, weekly bars up. Now we're getting I want to see it tightening up now. And it is staying above the 10-week line. So it's telling me a story. It did go up 40%. Profit taking started taking place again, retested the pivot price. Now we're getting that right side of the base being formed as well. I would definitely keep this on a list. Can I see the daily chart now, please? Now obviously, we're getting that fade today. But look, it is above the 21-day. It is above the 50-day. And the 21-day is slightly below that 50-day. But it's making a move. And like Rachel said, she likes seeing that little shakeout. Maybe this is a shakeout, this part of the handle part, right? For those of you that want to have an aggressive alternative buy point. Me personally, Rachel, as you know, I'm not buying this stock until it gets to 118.38. I want to see that clear. That's my style. That's how I invest. But for those of you that feel more comfortable buying it there, fantastic. You know, just to each their own. But again, strong story, especially in the environment that we're in right now, defense. I'm looking at the estimates for 2026, 2027. 2026, triple digits in earnings, right? 2025, you can see annual earnings at 143. So again, the numbers are there, the proprietary ratings are there, composite ratings at a 99. Keep this on a watch list. I like the group that it's in, and then go from there. I would definitely keep this on a hot list.
Yeah, I think that that definitely makes sense here. We are seeing a lot of these defense names come off of recent highs, but still there are many that I think are trading, that are holding up, that are trading tightly. Howmet, CRS, they are definitely pulling back, but a lot of them are still not undercutting moving averages. So yeah, an area to keep an eye on. A lot of these names are on our ready and watch list.
And if you can see that, go to the weekly chart. We added the one thing we just added, which are you know we you scroll down, we added the top five companies as well within that industry. Give you an idea of what's happening there, and they're all in their 90s. So anything, a lot of the best companies are going to pull back to the 21-day moving average, right? And when you have that type of action, it lets you know you're in a strong group and you have a really nice stock there going. So that's what I'd be looking for. But again, just gives me that conviction and confirmation that I'm looking at a strong stock.
All right, very good. Justin, I want to go over to a name. I think this was brought up on IBD Live yesterday. SanDisk, one that we talk about a lot, but could be setting up here in a double bottom. There's a lot you could do with this chart, maybe a downward sloping trend line here, or wait for the 691.54 level. It's having a nice move pulling back today, but what do you make of what's happening here?
Yeah, and I like what Mike said about this yesterday, the shakeout plus three rule. Again, that comes from Jesse Livermore from 100 years ago. And we, of course, alter it because we have, that was really for $30 stocks, roughly, and this is a $600 stock. So, a 3-point move in this is kind of a sneeze, not anything big. So, I do have a position in this, very small, because again, except for BTSG, I'm not starting things anywhere near full position size. I'm just trying to get a toehold in some things. And this was one that, I had played WDC for a little while. I had played STX for a little while. But the whole time I kind of was jealous. I wanted SanDisk or Micron, right? Those were the two big ones. And so I saw that, shakeout plus three as a way to get kind of in a little bit early. But I'm waiting for my ad, right? I'm waiting for the market to improve a little bit more. I'm waiting for this to, kind of clear. I mean, you can see even below that 691.54, you can kind of see an area like just below that, right? Yeah, that, right in that area that it seems to be hitting its head on. And you could even draw that a little bit to the left as well. That same line that you have, is kind of hitting some areas there. So that's kind of an area that I'm looking at, that it kind of needs to surpass as well. So the first step was that shakeout plus three. That put it right at the 21-day moving average line. I was encouraged by the move above 600. But again, I didn't want to necessarily get more invested at that point. And same thing with, yesterday's action. It kind of came right up to that line. And so, yeah, so now I'm just kind of waiting to do some adding. And again, this is one of the few small toehold pilot positions that I have.
And that's, oh yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say there's a downward sloping trend line from the top of the base that
Oh
also gets you
yeah.
to basically the same spot as
Same
well.
spot, right? And I love when that happens, right? Where you've got like, multiple ways to look at it for an entry because look, people are different. A lot of people are using different methods in order to get an entry. So you can kind of see, well, people that like their downtrend lines, oh, they're happy here. People that are using lines of resistance, okay, they're going to be happy here. People that are, so when you see multiple things like that, it's encouraging to me. And one of the big things on this is, remember with the you look at the estimates here on some of these stocks, and they're just incredible. The estimates going forward, and I think Ed's brought this up a few times, how it's affecting like the PE, right? It's almost like every time an earnings report comes out, despite this huge move, the PE just kind of is much lower than you would expect, from a 1,000% move or more.
Forward PE is 16. I mean, that is a yeah. So even though it's 86 right now, it's a forward is 16.
It reminds me of Nvidia a little bit, right? What was going on with Nvidia for a while, their earnings were so good that despite the huge price move it had, the PE was still just not really budging. And it's not like I'm looking at PEs as like, oh, well, this is my deciding factor. I just think it's interesting that the earnings are so strong on these, and that and the estimates going forward are so strong. You can see why it's really kind of driving the price of the stock up in these stocks.
Yeah, and so you mentioned just a small kind of pilot position, which is something that makes sense to maybe be doing if you do see a stock that you have a lot of conviction in. So that's for you like a 2% position that you start with, and you add, based on entries.
And the reality is it's probably a little bit less than that, because I haven't necessarily been doing that 2% position across all my accounts. I've only done it in a few accounts, and so while it's been like a 2.5% position in those accounts, because I haven't done it across all accounts, it's my total exposure is actually less to SanDisk.
Very good.
Two pieces of the news that's coming up as well. One thing is this is probably going to be a double bottom base after tomorrow, but we'll see. But on Monday, we're NVIDIA CEO. There's the GTC conference event that they hold, and the NVIDIA CEO will have a keynote address during the trading day, and that'll be relevant to everything. But they could say something about memory as well. But then Micron reports, I think, on Wednesday afternoon. So that'll be important, and a commentary about what they say about memory. And they'll presumably say everything's strong, but it'll be an expectations how strong relative to what all the excitement. So all these memory plays have sort of been moving together. So that's going to be an important report for SanDisk, even though SanDisk is months away from its own earnings report.
All right, very good. Ed, WDC, same space, same group. Any thoughts on this chart? It's kind of trying to hang on to this 21-day line. How do you feel about this?
I mean, yeah, I think that SanDisk and Micron are the leaders right now, but yeah, that's sort of that, or just the high from Tuesday, would be the ways you could play this. It actually has a 3 weeks tight on a weekly chart, so it's a couple of weeks from having. So you combine that, or you could just use it as a 10-week line bounce. Like if it got above, the highs, recent highs, or last week's highs. I could see that still working out. That's probably how I would play it. But then the question would be, well, why are you doing that or Sand or Seagate versus a SanDisk or Micron? Or maybe, and I don't think I would want to do anything before Micron earnings as well. So the risk there is that Micron has good news and all these stocks gap up 10%. And I go, man, do I really want to do that in this kind of market? So it's tricky. Again, it's all part of why it makes it. It's just not a great environment for buying stocks, even when you see stocks that are acting well. It's hard to pull the trigger.
Yeah, it's just tricky. Micron here kind of setting up in a base-like formation as well, but yeah. You don't want to do anything until after those earnings. So that definitely makes sense. All right, Arnie, let's move over to Dell, which is one that's been setting up here in a cup with handle base. It's had a nice couple of days here, up 1.7% today. I know you like to wait for that left side high, but this chart looks good. It's had this gap up, holding up here. What do you think?
Agree. Chart does look nice, especially that weekly chart there. You can see it getting very tight. And you can see finally the 10-week line starting to slope up with it. Look at that RS line. It's making a move pointing to 1 o'clock, something I'm looking at. I know the RS ring is at 85, but the RS ring 3 month is at a 95. Something to consider as well. But in this environment, I'm going to keep saying this, be very, very cautious. This is very tempting the way this is looking now. This is becoming very, very tempting. I like the story behind it. ATR though, the 21-day ATR is at 6%. Lately, I don't want that type of volatility. I like anything a lot less than 5%.
That might be
You can
earnings related, that big spike, and that's distorting it because it's been pretty tight the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, right. Okay. And then you have the number of funds going up on the weekly chart. That's something I look at last 3 quarters, 2162, 2360, 2465. All in all, I'd keep this on a watch list. Earnings estimates for 2026, 2027 have been revised, have been increased. But yeah, it looks good. But as you're drawing that trend line for me, right, that resistance line for me to get into that, it'd have to break through that. I don't like having any type of overhead supply, so go from there.
All right, very good. Justin, let's take a look at a Mike Webster favorite, I think from earlier this week. HCA, trading in this buy zone here, tight action on a daily chart. You can kind of clearly see where it might a high here, where if it were to break above that, that might be of interest. Nice 2.6% move higher here. What do you make of this stock?
Well, there certainly seems to be, some of these, let's just call them boring stocks, right? The typical, stocks that put you to sleep and they don't move, much. Although HCA did have a pretty nice move. It, trended very nicely above its 21-day moving average line. But this has a lot of stability, and maybe that's something that's really attractive right now. So a few things to note. You can see the EPS growth rate over in your box to the left, 29%. That's not a bad EPS growth rate. That's pretty good. And then right above there, the earnings stability of 7. Having a growth rate like that, and a remember the stability rating, it's 1 to 99, with 1 being the most stable. So that's a pretty good stability rating. And I think a lot of these stocks are being rewarded for kind of that stability. Let's take a look at the weekly chart, because we know how much Arnie hates those. Again, it's not a big mover, but it did have a nice prior uptrend based, popped out of there, and now it's just been holding tight. So if it can kind of break out of this tight area, I think this looks interesting, and certainly actionable. You have to wonder again about whether things resolve themselves. Will that put people more on a risk on kind of mentality, and will they kind of forget about these stocks? But you certainly the hospitals have been doing very well. But again, a lot of these boring stocks, if you will, seem to be getting attention, just on their own. I mean, Verizon, AT&T, these aren't stocks that we're normally super excited about, but these are the stocks that have seemed to be doing a little bit better, lately, coming off the bottom. And again, that's just not our style. Verizon looks better to me, but yeah, that's, came off the bottom with gusto.
All right. Well, very good. We'll keep an eye on those. Ed, let's go over to NBIS, one that it's pulling back today, had a nice pop yesterday. Let's see, how much was it up? It was up 16% yesterday, so quite a move. Hitting its head at this 110.50 level. You could probably draw some downward sloping trend lines, but what do you think of this chart?
Yeah, big move. They Nvidia invested in them. Nvidia has done a lot of those investments, buying, investing in startups or other companies, and then they turn around and buy Nvidia chips. Yeah, so I think that was actionable from there. At this point, I think I'd like to see it clear that high. Ideally, it would form a handle. Ideally, it would form, I don't know if that's high enough. It depends on how far down it came again. But that would be what I'd like to see. One concern I have about news pops. Okay, the market is difficult. So you can have a nice day because of news, and then, well, what's going to keep it going from there? If the conditions aren't great, if the market's still troubled, will this sort of slide back to 100 or beyond? Nothing about it, just because the market is what it is right now. But if you could stabilize here and go out, I mean, this is one of those hot data center plays, losing a ton of money, but this has an ATR of 9, essentially. So there are the potentials of big, big losses. You can just look in the left-hand side of that base. There are some days where it's just three or four, just absolutely, or five or six punishing days. Just know that you're adding risk upon risk. I found it interesting. It was a nice move. It was one of the best stocks yesterday. And maybe it'll look more attractive if the market can stabilize and if there's a handle. But I think there's a lot of risk with this one.
I definitely agree. So maybe one to be watching. Arnie, let's move over to a different area. Let's go to TPL, so in the oil and gas space. This one had a monster move out of this cut base. Took a minute, but then it really started to soar, and now it's been trading tightly here, sort of setting up. So what do you think about this stock, or is it ex
Love this action here, Rachel. You get a strong breakout, then we're getting some boring consolidation going nowhere. That's letting me know for the last 3 weeks there's no profit taking place. I mean, there's probably some, but not enough. And look at all that blue on the very bottom of the volume there. You can see that it's huge. So definitely nice to see. I like the action. I like the industry that it's in too. Top 10 industry group, oil and gas, royalty trust. The number the companies, at least the top four companies within that group are in the 90s. 3 month RS ratings at a 98, up down volume, which was almost at a 2. So definitely something I would keep on a list. Now, let me see that daily. I mean, if you're going to get into this stock here, what's the high on the left-hand side for me? It would be around 600.
Yeah, let me see.
Around there. So the high there is 589. And what Rachel did, she clicked on the cross here for those of you. I get that question asked a lot to get that as well. Rachel, can you walk us through how you're doing the trend line? A
Yeah.
very common question we get, if you could just do that real quick.
Sure. So I go to markup tools, which is this pencil up here in this bar. And then I favorited these two, the doodle and the trend line, but you can go ahead and find whichever. There's tons of different drawing tools that we have down here, but I like the trend line, and basically it allows me to, you can click at any point in the chart, whether it's attached to a candlestick or not. But I'm going to go ahead and click here and just click to start it and then click to stop it. And that's the
So
trend.
you click, let go, click to stop it, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Rachel. So yeah, I'm looking for it to clear that resistance there. But if you go back to the daily chart, now for those of you that do have a position in this stock and you bought it correctly, and you bought it when it did break out, and low risk entry if I had it, because I see those two ants there. So it's definitely letting me know there's consolidation. Those two little ants there, if it can pull back to the 21 day, that may be a fantastic place for those of you that like that, have a strong appetite for risk. You may want to create a initiate a position, or you can add to your position as well. But always remember market direction. You can take a small position, but this is holding up. I'm always asking myself from a big picture, I'm standing back, how does this look like the indices? It is holding up. And that's what I'm looking for. Stocks that are holding up during this move. And look at that RS line. It is just going and going, right? So it's at a new high. So from a relative standpoint, this stock is one of the strongest stocks we've seen today, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. Justin, let's go ahead over and take a look at I'll look at two names with you. The first one, let's look at CNX. I'm seeing people in the Q&A asking about this one. Had that breakout in the, it was in the buy zone for a minute, pulled back to the 21-day line. It's up 1.2% today. So, have you been watching this one, and what do you think of this action?
Yeah, actually, this was I was deciding between AA and CNX, CENX as again, it's kind of a similar thing. This one actually did break out already, as you mentioned. It pulled back, but it got support right around the 21-day moving average line. So yeah, I think this one looks just fine as well. But it's certainly, again, what's going on in the Middle East is probably a big impact here. So you just have to be very cognizant of that. Things change there. It could have, more impact on the stock.
Yeah. All right. And one more for you. Let's look at LNG, which is moving towards its buy zone here.
Yeah, kind of the same thing, with transport pipeline, natural gas, all of that very affected. And so that's why you've seen this big move here. And I mean, it's coming right up to a resistance area, and we'll see if it can cross above that. But I'm always a little hesitant when something's been up that many weeks in a row and comes right up to resistance. My preference personally, not that the stock cares what I want or anything or listens to me, but my preference is for it to pause here. So if it could go tight here for a little bit, and then kind of break out, you could easily see, like, maybe even the lows of of this week and last week kind of acting as a little floor for you, so you can manage your risk. Because when it comes up, from the bottom, that's always my concern. Okay, well, where do I know I'm wrong? So if this kind of tightened up around here, maybe even drifted lower a little bit, and then had some type of, reversal or support, then I've got something to use as an exit. And that's very, very important to me. Now, again, because of the volatility of news that could be affecting this, I might be a little bit more hesitant, to play this. A lot of this stuff might depend on speed, where, I was just kind of responding to Phil about, he was saying this is kind of a day trader's dream market. And yeah, I mean, if you're fast enough, but I get busy with stuff, and sometimes I don't, necessarily think I'm that fast to react on things, because I'm distracted by projects and other things. So I don't know that I would be quick enough, if news changes, to adjust accordingly. I need a few days, a couple weeks, and I'm good. But when things are changing hour by hour, that's a little bit quick for me.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Ed, let's go over and take a look at a net Cloudflare. One that was r really struggling along with all the computer software names. But it's had a nice second week in a row here, trading above its 40-week line or its 200-day line, quite a few days in a row up here. Have you been wa keeping an eye on this one, or what do you think about this action?
Yeah, it's a lot of software stocks have rallied, but some of them were much further down. So that's and this one came up through the 50-day and 200-day line. A lot of others have not. They hit resistance at one or the other line. So that's a positive. Maybe they're getting sort of a Fastly boost because they do cybersecurity, but they also do things to improve the speed of networks. So I'm not sure all the reasons why this one's doing better. It had that big gap up a couple, like a month and a half ago, and then gave up a lot of gains and then just came right back down because software was terrible and all that. I'd like it to tighten up here. I mean, it's made a nice move here. I mean, I think this 220 area or 218, 220 would be a nice place for it to pause for a while, and just get some kind of setting up there. It's just tough. Software is making a comeback. I think one thing is that you want to be looking for stocks, in sectors in the market that are showing relative strength, because these might be the ones that when software really does become back in favor, maybe Cloudflare is one of those that's really going to be a leader because it seems to be one of the less sucky ones, let's put it that way. But it hasn't done great over the last several months. It has been volatile. If software goes in a downturn again, it's pretty clear that Cloudflare is going to get hit too. So I think this is one to watch, but one I'm not really that interested in getting into just because of the way the whole sector has been.
That definitely makes sense. All right, Arnie, let's go and venture back into the oil and gas space, and let's take a look at RRC. One of the ready list names here had a nice breakout. It's advancing higher into the buy zone here. Tell me what you make of this chart.
Like that consolidation there. You see that those two bases side by side. It goes from one B to go to another base, the most recent base or pattern. So it's a continuation of one C. So if it can really clear that consolidation, this would be very, very interesting. This is in a strong industry, the top 40 industry group. Like the group that it's in, up down volume ratio at a 1.79, RS range at a 92. The 3 month RS range at a 92. I want to be clear about that. And the top five companies within that group are in the 90s. So it's in a strong group. Look at the RS line. We're just talking about relative strength. I'm looking at the RS line. That's pointing to 1 o'clock. I love that action. This is definitely holding up. And as it's breaking out, looking at the weekly chart, it's above average volume. It's above that line, the red line there. Now it did break out. It had a reversal, but it's holding up. It's at its weekly high, weekly day high, so it's looking strong. Let me see that daily. The daily throws me off a little bit, though. It's all over. It seems very volatile, but it only has a ATR of 3.86%. This will be tough to hold, because you go up, break out, come back down, reverse back up after it tests the pivot, and this has tested the pivot one, two, three times. So if something's, me personally, when I'm looking at something like this, if it cannot clear the high of that downside reversal we had on the pivot area, upper right hand corner, I'm sorry, the pivot area, the blue shaded area right there, that high there, there's something wrong with that. So it is actionable because it is within the pivot area. It's been around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, around 10 days. It's been trading around that range. So eventually it has to make a move, maybe give it another week, see what happens. But look at the 21-day moving average. It's moving up with it. So if you can maybe touch it, kiss it, however you like it, maybe place to add to your position or maybe initiate as well. Look at the RS lines pointing to, is that, it's going straight up. So again, it's very, very strong considering where the market's at today. This is up big today. Yesterday was up big as well. So, and it's staying within the 90th percentile of that closing range.
All right, very good. Justin, let's go and take a look at Caterpillar, currently on, I believe it's currently on leaderboard, last I checked. Coming into the 50-day line here after kind of reaching a little bit of resistance at the 21-day line. What do you make of this sort of pullback here?
Yeah, it's another one of those where, again, this is maybe considered kind of a boring stock, but look at how well this has been trending above its 10-week moving average line. Pretty impressive in that regard. And you know what? Someone was asking for another quick little tutorial on the measure tool. You want to do it with me?
Sure, this
Yeah,
guy.
so there's two ways to do it. So there's that measure one, and then there's also I don't see it on yours, but maybe it's down a little bit more on your toolbar. Yeah, there you go. There's that measure line. So I've been using the measure line a little bit more just to kind of put things. But yeah, let's go from the bottom of yeah, right there. So you just kind of put that first point. You click there, and then you can move it up to, go ahead and move it up to the peak. Yeah, and actually, you see where the dot is at the low right now. Yeah, you go ahead and move it to the high, and so we can say, okay, where did it go from its low to its high? And go ahead and click there, and now it'll give you a little pullout box that says, oh, from the low on the week of 4/11. Here's what the low was to the high on 2/13. Here's what the high was, and that's 195% that this has gone in 45 bars. So 45 weeks, right? A little bit under a year, this has gone up 195%. So pretty impressive in that regard. And so far that 10-week moving average line has been containing the move. The pullback, I'm not sure why it's pulling back right now, but it doesn't seem like it's doing anything that abnormal. The trend on this is still up, the relative strength is still strong. And again, boring seems to be what's exciting folks right now. And then if you do want to take this off, you can always just hit that trash can and delete the annotation,
It's become an AI play with some generator sales and some other things. So that's been driving a lot of growth. So it's yeah, it's that's been a big factor and a big reason why you're seeing the growth rate's pretty strong over the next couple of years.
And
And
just
then I know, like deer, you had a lot of folks, I think, kind of looking at that as, with AI and kind of self-driving for tractors and things like that. That's kind of exciting for deer, where, oh, you know what? The tractor can go ahead and do the plowing itself. You don't need that extra labor there. So, yeah.
When was this one added to leaderboard Caterpillar?
Let's see. It wasn't that long ago, actually. I can pull it up real quick, because I think it was earlier this week.
So maybe as it was bouncing off of
Right,
the
exactly.
online,
Yeah.
I see.
That leaderboard had gotten quite light, and so there was kind of on that on the 10th. Yeah, so on the 10th, this is when it was added at 10:57 a.m.
Very good. Well, thank you for that.
Pacific time.
All right, Ed, let's go and take a look at a Sienna, which is holding above its 21-day line. It undercut it, but gapped down, gapped right back up. Trading not too far off of highs. What do you think of this chart? Is there any opportunity here potentially?
Yeah, I'm not a super fan of the short consolidations. I know some other people are. I'd like to see it do a little bit more. Oddly enough, you go on a weekly chart, this is an inside week. It's up 11% and it's an inside week, which should tell you something about, I mean, there was some news last week and this and that, but I'm not sure because it's hard to buy. You could buy it off the 10-week line, but when it's straight down like that and straight up, it's an inside week, which makes it less. I certainly don't want to buy this after it gets above. If it kept on surging and very quickly got above last week's high, though. So I'd like this to base out a little bit more. If this had come down more gradually, then the bounce off the 10-week line, I think, would have looked more appealing. Obviously, super strong stock. Fiber optics is number one. There are people who bought off of these things, the people who bought Ciena and Lumentum and Coherent, those who bought it or said they bought it off the off of short-term levels. Great, but it's like, wow, I mean, I don't know where this is all going to go. If we have a big sell-off, these are again high ATR names, but really, really strong. This is definitely an area people should be watching. I just like it to base out some more.
Right. And maybe that'll happen over the next few weeks. We could see this sort of extend and maybe we'll get a 365.90 buy point.
It doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, I'm talking about, oh, I'd like it based. I'm like, I understand if it's not going to be super tight. This market's volatile, but if it can sort of show up in the relative strength line, it can form some kind of base. It doesn't have to be everything pristine. I think, sometimes in bad markets, the bases don't always look perfect, but I'd like to see a little bit more consolidation, but for me.
That makes sense. All right, Arnie, let's move over to MPC, which is another one that I'm seeing the Q&A talk about. On a daily chart, it's looks messy, but then it's moving above this recent high here, up 3%. On a weekly chart, something interesting is happening where it's moving above prior left-hand highs. What do you think about this name?
I'm loving the way this is looking. This is showing a lot of strength. You can see the volume spikes forming that right side of the base. The relative strength line pointing to 1 o'clock. 3 month RS range at a 96. Up down volume ratios at a 1.34. It's at an all time high as of yesterday or today, last week or this week. I can't really tell. There's a lot of good things going on with this company, and it's in a very strong industry group. Top, it's 25 out of 197. It's so I'm going to say this the way I like stocks like this when they break out and they clear that left side. All there's no more overhead supply. Now our pattern recognition is showing that it's overextended. To each their own, right? So just an FYI. Looking at the daily though, if you look at the daily, let's pull up the daily chart real quick. It broke out, but found support at the 21-day. The minute I see a stock like this break out, because a lot of stocks are going to fail when they break out. Remember, when you buy a stock, and you really shouldn't have sold it because it really hit 5%. It hit that 5 to 8% roll. But that definitely, when it found that support at the 21-day and bounced, and this started taking off, this shows a lot of power. If you get a stock like this, breaks out, pulls back to the 21-day, and then clears that 210.32, watch out. I pay attention to those type of stocks. And that's what's happening. I've had a pretty good batting average of those type of stocks after they break out, failed breakout, find support at the 21-day, and then clear it with what it did there on good volume. All in all, like I said, looking at the weekly chart, I like seeing that type of action. It's clearing that all-time high. But if you're looking at the day, it is overextended.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Justin, let's move over. Let's go ahead and take a look at TSM, which is, it was looking promising, maybe hopeful. We were getting up to that 21-day line, and now we're down almost 5%, undercutting the 50-day once again. What do you have to say about this one?
Yeah, so disappointing. There's a lot of stocks, right, that were looking very strong on Monday and kind of having a disappointing day today. I mean, the market's a little disappointing, right? With Monday's, support, you'd really want to see it hold a little bit better. And it just isn't right now. So, that's something to just be very cognizant of. We talked about how even the follow-through day isn't necessarily an all clear signal, but certainly in the position that we're in right now, it's kind of even worse. So the fact that it got resistance at its 21-day moving average line, got turned away, it's losing its 50-day moving average line right now. Now it's still holding the Monday low, but there's a little bit of a concern here whether or not it can hold. It may be just fine, but I just don't want to stick my neck out. I don't want to wait for things to get worse, because I'm already, just trying to stop the bleeding in my account, and I've done enough over the last 4 months. I don't want to do anymore. So I'm very quick to toss things when they aren't working.
Definitely makes sense. I want to go ahead and let the Q&A know that I'm going to try to collect some tickers for a lightning round that we'll get to here in just a couple minutes. So if you want to put your tickers in, and we'll try to race through those here in just a minute. Just going to do a quick market check. NASDAQ continuing to weaken, down 1.6%. The S&P 500 down 1.1% here. So we're definitely seeing stocks continue to come off where they were earlier, so struggling. Just also for check in on oil, USO up over 8%, so racing higher here. So all right, so before we get to lightning round, we're going to do a couple more names. Ed, I want to take a look at LGND, which is over in the biotech space. Man, this one was looking good, and I was watching it, and I think we had an RS line blue dot, even might still be there on the weekly, but today it's just really crumbling. What would you say to someone who bought on the breakout?
I think you need to be taking some action. It is finding support at the 50-day line, but so you could choose to sell maybe. I mean, I would I would probably be selling part of it. I'd probably be selling part of my position and then waiting till the end of the day, see if it can rebound in some way, either just to get out at a better price or maybe even to hang on. I don't know what's happening. This is a royalty play. I haven't seen any news out there. This is why the earnings tend to be lumpy on a quarterly basis, but so I don't know what's going on. You look at XBI, you look at a lot of names, there's a lot of big losses. I mean, it's just not going well, which shouldn't have any real connection to what's going on, but it's a risk off day. I mean, it's just what it is. It has nothing to do with Iran particularly. A lot of things are, but that's just makes it hard because a couple of days ago it's like, hey, this is an area, growth area where you can go and legend, Ligand. Not today. So yeah, just that's really disappointing. And it's just that, again, when you're not in an uptrend and it's a news-driven market, it's just really tough.
Definitely. All right. Well, Arnie, let's go take a look at MRVL, which is in the chip space. Definitely a bit of a crazy chart, but this one we broke out. We just got slightly above this 9420 double bottom buy point. And now we're reversing, 2 days down here. So similar question, what would you say to someone who bought on this breakout and who's trying to deal with this?
Let me see that weekly chart.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's fine. I mean, it did hit that 5 to 8% mark. Just depends on your conviction in this company. Now you may have sold it, but could always buy it back. Hasn't done anything. It did hit that 5 to 8, but I'm looking to the left on the weekly chart. There's a lot of overhead supply. That's bugging me a little. So as it starts making this move up, you may have those that got caught up on that previous back in 2024. They may be looking to break even. Who knows? I'm just, trying to see the story behind this. I did like the volume, but that reversal is pretty nasty as well. Let me see the daily chart. Yeah, you have a gap down. As soon as the gap starts getting filled, looking at the double bottom, it reverses and it gets even uglier. Then it finds a bottom and then it starts forming the right side of the base and then it starts coming down on the gap up. It's tough. I would be very cautious with this stock. I need to tighten it up a little bit more. I mean, historically, it looks like this is the personality of the stock. It was living under the 21 day and the 50 day for a very long time. It may want to test that again. I don't know. May want to test that gap up that it had about 4 or 5 days ago. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Marvel over the years, but it's last couple of years, but it's not looking too good. So if it was me, I'd pass, but I'd keep it on a watch list.
All right, very good. Justin, let's move over. Let's do a little check-in here on GLD and we'll also take a look at the GDX. GLD has been, coasting along this 21-day line here, holding up, but maybe forming some kind of a base, or you could maybe draw a couple trend lines. GDX, similarly, but trading below its 21-day line. Anything to add on these two charts?
Yeah, I did think it was interesting that GDX was able to, make new highs again after the pretty dramatic drop that it had in January. It was impressive that it kind of came right back. Now, look, this pullback is no fun either, and it's the volatility right now in the space that's kind of got me, sidestepping this for now. I'm not really interested in this right now. I did play it earlier for some of the moves, back in August, and then again in December. But right now, again, it just started getting too whippy. And I mean, silver, that had an even more dramatic drop. I mean, it was down like 30% in a single day for LE. And that one, while gotten back up the above the 50-day moving average line and 21-day moving average line, it hasn't really made progress above it. So for me, I'm just not wanting to play these right now. It's just too whippy for me.
That definitely makes
That's
sense.
another one of those speed things. I just don't think I'm fast enough to play these right now.
You'll just be furious. The slow and the furious.
Good. Great. All right, Ed, let's take a look at AEM. This was brought up on the Stock Market Today video yesterday as one of the stocks they're looking at. What are your thoughts here on this?
It's acting well, but yeah, it just I've never really enjoyed playing gold and silver because of the possibility of swings, and I just feel like you could see a huge swings that could make gold or silver go very big moves, with the dollar, with other things, and safe haven flows, not safe haven flows. So I don't know where this is going, but it's acting pretty well. I mean, on an all overall.
All right, very good. All right, I think we're gonna go ahead and move over into our lightning round here. So speedy answers. We'll try to run through a bunch of tickers. So Arnie, let's go ahead and start with TRGP.
Watch list.
All right. Justin, let's look at EWY.
Oh, no, thank you.
Very good. Ed, let's look at NXT.
We'll have a base soon. Watch. I mean, there's some, it's interesting.
Right. Arnie, let's look at LYB.
Let me see that weekly chart. Pass.
Overextended. Okay.
Overextended pass, overhead supply, a lot going on.
Very good. Justin, let's look at BSTG. No, BTSG.
So I still do have a position in this. This is really kind of only my only larger position that I've had since the breakout. So I'm holding, but yeah, I might not. I might just take the profit, to be honest with you, because of the market.
All right. Ed, let's look at PLTR.
This needs to get above its 200-day line. And the risk is that this could, some people are asking, could it be a short? It could be. It's because on the daily chart, it's right on its 50-day line. So it's, I'm not touching it either way. I'm watching it because it was such an old, great old leader.
Good. Arnie, let's look at STRL.
Watch list.
All right, very good. Justin, let's look at AGX.
Yeah, this one again, it's whippy. That 21-day ATR is up there, 6.7, but this one has held a 21-day moving average line, so I'm watching it just to be aware.
All right. Ed, GE.
Yeah, really struggling, maybe because of the airlines. This looks like a sell to me.
Right. Arnie, GEV.
Watch list.
Justin, let's look at NVIDIA.
Yeah, I just haven't found any reason to do anything with it. I like that it got support at the 200-day moving average line, but it can't stay up above its 50-day moving average line for very long. So I don't think there's anything to do with it right now.
Ed, let's look at Kava.
I mean, it's watching, I really don't like the fundamentals. I just don't. I mean, I know people are excited about it, but I think that's it's acting well since earnings.
All right, Arnie, let's take a look at XOM.
Watch list.
Very good. Justin, let's look at FSLY.
Yeah, I think. The move here was as it was getting back above 20 and extended now.
All right, just a couple more. Ed, let's look at five.
Watch. I think they have earnings next week. I'm not, so I wouldn't do anything before then. Back tomorrow.
All right. Arnie, let's look at IMAX.
Watch list.
Very good. Justin, let's look at SPHR.
I'd really. I'm a little disappointed that it didn't hold the 21-day moving average line and those lows that it tested last week and a couple weeks ago. But it's still holding up from that big earnings gap that it had. So I'm still watching it.
Right, Ed AHR.
This is holding nicely. Hold, I mean, and look for possible entry if it goes above higher.
It
All
just
right,
doesn't
and
go up. This has been on the ready list for weeks because it just hasn't moved.
Yeah, look at that relative strength line keeps rising. Yeah,
Yeah,
I
right,
mean,
exactly. Yeah. No movement is better than down.
yes,
This is true. Yeah, there's a couple on the ready list from this finance property REIT industry
Yeah,
group.
so Welltower is another one, WELL. Yeah.
Well, and CTRE. Another one. Interesting, worth watching. All right, we're going to do one more. Arnie, bring us home with a fix.
Let me see a weekly. Sorry.
Sorry.
Watch list.
All right, very good. I think that'll do it for our stock analysis today. I'm going to do a quick market check-in here before we close out the show with final thoughts and tickers. So continuing to see the NASDAQ trade lower here, looking at a 5-minute chart. It's just kind of hanging out near the lows of the day now, continuing to slide. S&P 500, similar story, hanging out near the lows of the day. And the Dow, again, same thing, down 1.3%. So things are continuing to struggle. I feel like not much has changed since we were all talking at the top of the show. But if we could get final thoughts and tickers, starting with you, Arnie.
Let me see that now. Final thoughts. There's really right now I'm really preaching right now. Cash is a position. I'm seeing the way this market's just fading out right now. It's going to test the 200-day. Maybe if we get that bounce, the 200-day there, you can see that in the NASDAQ acting like a magnet. Just be careful out there, you guys. Be careful with FOMO. I know there's a lot of good stocks out there, especially in the oil and gas. You can make a couple dollars here and there, but overall, Mr. Neal said in his book, How to Make Money in Stocks, three out of every four stocks will follow the direction of the market. So, with that said, be disciplined. Be disciplined out there, especially with your exits. You can always buy it back. We're retail investors, right? If you're not comfortable, protect your mental capital. But it's not looking too good. I mean, just look at the 21-day line within the last 2 months or a month and a half. It's only been above the 21-day for once. So it's showing a lot of weakness until proven otherwise. And if you do get in, and then we do get that huge follow-through day, be careful with it. Don't plunge in. Make it prove itself to you. Okay. Incrementally get in. All right. And go from there. But one thing I will say is we like pullbacks. Why? Get your watch list ready. Stocks that you wanted to own, you're going to get that opportunity. Because when we start seeing that, you're going to start seeing the right side of the base. Another tell is going to be we're going to start seeing a lot more bases being formed in the near pivot. You'll see 30 to 50 names in the Grow 250 near pivot report and stuff like that. So little things like that I look for as well.
All right, very good. Ed, final thoughts or tickers?
Just more final thoughts. Just a couple of comments that are out there is that the new supreme leader, the son of Khomeini, who's now the leader, basically said that the Strait of Hormuz must remain closed as a tool to pressure the enemy. President Trump, similar time period, came in, basically said, "Hi, U.S. oil price, high oil prices are good for the U.S. And it is different because we do produce a lot. So it may not be a net negative. And you could even argue that there's some positives, especially with high natural gas prices elsewhere. But that doesn't sound like somebody who's going to be getting, it's like sounds like somebody who is trying to sell people on higher oil prices, not somebody who is about to get oil prices lower. I mean, I'm not saying it's like, again, it just my point is, and none of that may
I
not be
get it.
true.
No, yeah.
It may not be true, but that's probably what the market is taking. When you take those two statements, that sounds like saying, like, I've also heard that the only way you open up the strait is if you put troops on the ground, not throughout the whole country, but at least on the coastline around there, stopping the speedboats, maybe that are mining the place, stopping some of the drones that could come out. And that's, I don't know if we're going to do that, so it's just sort of, it's just really difficult. The highest we closed at was like 94 something on Monday, but effectively we were at $86 a barrel, I think, because that closed with a 230 Eastern on Monday, but at by 4 o'clock Eastern at the stock market close, we were down quite a bit, which is why you saw that big spike downward reversal day. We were actually down that day. So we're setting to close oil at the highest we've had highest close in a long time. I mean, it's so yeah, we're not at the 120, but that was Sunday night. Markets aren't liking this. It's not good for the global economy. That has to change. That has to change until that comes down meaningfully and stays down, and that won't really happen until that strait reopens. And I don't, and that, and right now the market is not seeing that happening. And we might soon start seeing the November and December contracts. They might start moving up toward, $85, $90 and all these things. So I'm just pointing out the backdrop ain't great. And until that changes, it's hard to see that. So just be careful out there.
Yeah, indeed. All right, Justin, bring us home. Final thoughts or checkers?
Yeah, I mean it's very clearly a risk off environment. Again, I don't find myself in any rush to get heavily invested here, and staying in cash is a lot more comfortable for me. Again, I have some small positions, and I'm very quick to take those off. SMH was something that I had a very small position in, again, just to kind of test the waters, but now. Today I'm out, and that's just, again, very small. So I'm not getting that hurt by it. But it doesn't work, and it's out. And I'm, just that's what this market seems to be doing more of, things not working for very long. So one stock that I was observing, we talked a lot about chemicals, LIN, in the chemical space. This one had a nice kind of reversal yesterday, and is following up today. So looking very different from a lot of other stocks. I'm not sure exactly what, they are in like a lot of industrial gases, hydrogen, carbon capture, so maybe it's some of the green, energy, and with oil prices so high, they don't have a footprint in Iran. They kind of got out of Iran because of sanctions. They just didn't feel like it was a good environment, so they don't have exposure there. So maybe that's something that's helping. But it's another one of those kind of boring stocks, right? That seem to be a little attractive right now, and they do have these projects that are like, I mean, 50 to 20-year contracts, and they just kind of have these contracts for long periods of time, and have the money. They're doing buybacks. They've got a dividend, 1.3% yield, I think, something like that. And yeah, boring seems to be in.
Yeah, this one's getting above last Friday's high, so also above the 21-day line. Definitely one to keep an eye on. Thanks for bringing it up. Well, I think that is going to do it for our show here today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I want to remind everyone that we have a great workshop coming up this Saturday, hosted by some of our IBD Live panelists, Dave Chung, Scott St. Clair. It's called Roadmap to a Winning Trade. If you want to sign up for it, if you go to investors.com, you'll see the banner at the top of the page there. They're going to be talking about how to build conviction in a position, how to manage your positions, post analysis. There's going to be a lot of great stuff in there. It's, I think, a 3-hour online workshop. It's going to be live. So check that out if that sounds interesting to you. And for today's show, we'll get this episode up on investors.com/IBD Live shortly, along with our ready list, watch list, and edited Q&A. Be sure, as
Oh, I
always,
wanted to throw up one thing real quick.
go for it.
Jay Woods was on the podcast yesterday, so again, this is the boring being in, and he went through a lot of stocks, giving his ideas on everything from software to a thing. For those that don't know Jay Woods, he was a floor trader on the New York Stock Exchange for decades. Still is down there, yeah, great guy. And we talked a little bit about his uncle, Ralph Acampora, who was the one that created the CMT Association. So, what he's learned from him over the years. So, check it out.
Very cool. Thank you. And that was published yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. So
Very
you can
good.
find it on YouTube or go to our site, investors.com/podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts for investing with IBD.
Very good. Thank you, Justin. Keep your eyes peeled on investors.com for that, for our Stock Market Today video at the close. And as always, we'll see you back here tomorrow for another episode of IBD Live. But until then, have a great and safe trading day.